This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a story of the first nativity scene in the state capitol in Springfield. Also get a forecast from AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. A spokesman for the Urbana School District who asked not to be named says a school board vote last night authorizing a $250,000 settlement is in connection with the district's handling of molestation complaints against former teacher John White. Last night, the Urbana School Board voted 5-0 to approve the structured settlement, which is to be paid to a child. Except for noting the connection to White, school officials refused to comment on the matter. Several lawsuits have been filed against Urbana and Normal school officials in connection with White, who pleaded guilty to molesting young girls in his class. He's now serving a 60-year prison sentence. Two out-of-court settlements were filed in court last month, but District 116 officials won't say if last night's board vote was for one of those settlements or another one. A district spokesman says school officials will comment on the John White case only after all the legal action against it has been settled. The state of Illinois is behind on its payments for education grants, and in Urbana, that's forced the school board to lend money to its adult education program to make up for late funding. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The $150,000 loan was approved by the Urbana School Board last night. The money comes from the district's working cash fund. Adult Education Director David Adcock says that's enough money to get his program through December. Adult Education has been juggling its money from federal and other sources to get by in recent months because the state hasn't sent out one of its quarterly grant payments for nearly half a year. District 116 business manager Carol Baker says they can afford to loan adult education money to get through December and maybe even January. But she says the district is also coping with other delays in state payments, so they can't bail out adult education forever.
At some point, our internal bank will be emptied and we will have to go out and borrow from a local bank. I mean, we only have $7 million in our working cash, and once that's gone, we're going to have to go out and borrow as well.
Baker says the state started seriously falling behind on state grant payments at the start of the current school year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Republican Congressman Tim Johnson and Mark Kirk say former Governor George Ryan should remain behind bars for the duration of his 6.5-year prison sentence. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin has asked President Bush to commute Ryan's sentence to time served. Durbin's sentiment is shared by Governor Rod Blagojevich. Johnson said since Durbin first raised the issue back in November, he's received calls and emails from constituents urging him to oppose commutation of Ryan's sentence. But Kirk says he sent a letter to Bush yesterday urging him not to reduce Ryan's term. Ryan's wife, Laura Lynn, says her husband has faced life in prison with a positive attitude, but jail has taken its toll on him. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald won't say publicly what he thinks about the calls to free George Ryan from prison. Fitzgerald's office prosecuted the corruption case against the former Illinois governor.
The way the system is set up, if the White House or the Justice Department asks a U.S. Attorney's office for their opinion, we'll give them our candid opinion privately, but we're not going to opine publicly.
After Ryan's conviction on fraud charges, Fitzgerald referred to the former governor's misdeeds as a low watermark for public service. A $150,000 house in Champaign will cost its owners about $19 more in city property taxes next year. That's a result of the higher property tax levy the city council passed last night. While the council increased the levy, the property tax rate will remain at $1.29 for every $100 of assessed valuation. City manager Steve Carter says the council sets the levy based on their estimates of property assessments that won't be ready until next spring. He says that can make things difficult.
We don't have all the final information yet, so we don't know exactly what the value of the property is. That information won't be available until next spring, and so we have to set the levy based on estimates, and so we tend to estimate high. And we do that, you know, to make sure that the city can take advantage of the growth that's occurred in the community.
But Carter says no matter what, the city council cannot raise more than the $20.3 million ceiling set by the levy. Illinois Congressman Bobby Rush says an African American should be picked to replace President-elect Barack Obama in the U.S. Senate. The Chicago Democrat is holding a statewide petition drive on the issue. Rush, who is black, says he's not personally interested in the post and says he won't endorse a candidate.
We're not about personalities. We really are about the principle that it should be an African American. There are a number of people who have put their names forward who are eminently qualified to be in the U.S. Senate. But, you know, if we start picking personalities, then we're going to add to the division.
Jesse Jackson Jr. and Danny Davis are two African-American congressmen who have publicly expressed interest in the position. Rush says he expects to send the petition later this month to Governor Blagojevich, who gets to make the appointment. A spokesman for Blagojevich says race will be only one factor in appointing a candidate, but not the only factor. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Statues of Abraham Lincoln, Stephen Douglas, and other prominent state political figures line the halls of the Illinois State House in Springfield. Yesterday, a new set of statues were placed in the Capitol, albeit only for the rest of this month. These have biblical and not political significance. Amanda Vinicky of Illinois Public Radio attended the unveiling ceremony and has this report.
Dan Zenoza had long been a devout Christian when he moved to Lincoln, just outside of Springfield, several years ago. But when a leg injury put him in the hospital, Zenoza says he was put on a medicine to which he had a terrible allergic reaction. Zenoza says it caused him to have nightmares and left him doubting his faith.
And it was a type of hell, losing something that was that important to my life.
Zenoza says it was worse for him than when, less than a year later, he lost his eyesight. Now that he's regained his faith, he wants to share it. He's done so by leading the effort to put what's believed to be the first ever nativity scene in the Illinois State Capitol building. A Catholic church choir sang Silent Night next to the display at its unveiling. The nativity features a baby Jesus made of Italian marble and resin lying in a cradle, his curly-haired head resting on a satin pillow. On either side of him, statues of Mary and Joseph wearing richly colored robes and peering down adoringly at their newborn child. Joseph stands the tallest at about 4 feet. The statues cost $7,000 and are being paid for through private donations. Though he'll never see it, Zenoza says he's pleased it's there.
It's an expression of joy and celebration. The birth of Christ, for me, is the birth of the Savior of the world.
There's another meaning, though. Zenoza says it's also to teach passers-by about what he says is their constitutionally guaranteed right to show religious icons in public spaces. While there's no record at the Secretary of State's office of a manger scene at the Capitol, the Illinois State House has featured religious displays. In recent years, a silver menorah has been placed in public view throughout Hanukkah. Rabbi Daniel Moskowitz says the menorah's candles will shine again this year.
The world is very dark, and we want to be able to illuminate and show, especially at the place of government, that we are concerned with good, with positive, with light, with warmth.
In order for any display, a nativity, menorah, even non-religious displays, to be allowed in the Capitol, the Secretary of State must first give approval.
Ultimately, it's the people's capital. And with regards to displays, we have a long-standing permit process.
That's Secretary of State spokesman Henry Haupt. He says the nativity meets the criteria. It doesn't disrupt the flow of traffic, it's temporary, and it's not paid for by taxpayer dollars. Taxpayer dollars are used for other displays in the Capitol during the holiday season, namely lights that are strung outside the Capitol up to the top of its dome, and a stories-high evergreen tree, known now as a holiday tree, in the middle of the Capitol Rotunda. Hope says these are permitted to be paid for publicly because they're secular symbols. However, Robert Boston, a policy analyst at the Washington, D.C.-based Americans United for Separation of Church and State, says while the Secretary of State's policy may be legal, it can be problematic. If one display of free speech is permitted, he says, so must every other. Even, as happened in Ohio more than a decade ago, if the Ku Klux Klan wishes to install a cross at the Capitol.
Now, of course, the Ku Klux Klan being such a controversial organization, it stirred up a lot of animosity, and there was much discussion and debate and even some violence in the area around this display.
He says he believes a better approach would be for the state to stay out of matters of theology completely and leave religious symbols in houses of worship. But the American Civil Liberties Union's Ed Yanka sees it differently.
That is an incredibly important signal to send in our state capitol, that everyone should have access to that building with a message that they think is important for their government to hear.
And if anyone has a problem with the nativity, he says the remedy is to erect a counteracting display of his or her own. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser says we'll see a cloudy day over most of the two-state area and some precipitation definitely in the forecast for the rest of the week. For today, in northern and west central Illinois, cloudy with rain arriving, changing to snow in the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with rain showers arriving primarily during the afternoon. That's the forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Highs today from 30 in northwest Illinois to 52 in south central Indiana. Central Illinois should see a temperature hovering around 40 degrees. For tonight, in northwest and west central Illinois, cloudy with snow showers tapering to flurries. Elsewhere in northern and central Illinois and in northern Indiana, snow during the evening hours tapering off overnight. In central Indiana, rain changing to snow. In the south, rain showers mixing with and changing to snow showers in some locations well after midnight. Lows tonight from only 9 in far northwest Illinois to 29 far south, 21 in Champaign-Urbana, maybe an inch or two of snow likely before midnight tonight, according to Ed Kieser. For tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers and flurries. Central sections, a mix of clouds and sun with a few flurries. In the south, mostly sunny. Highs from 21 in northwest Illinois to 37 far south. For tomorrow, 29 with a chance of flurries and intervals of clouds and sun in Champaign-Urbana. Partly sunny and 29 on Friday. Cloudy with some snow on Saturday and a high of 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.